Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today again from the book of the revelation of St. John the Divine, the revelation of the apostle, the beloved disciple, John. I'll be beginning with the passage of Scripture which is listed as being chapter 14. And then I intend to continue on through the two following passages referenced as being chapters 15 and 16. But I will be going into those separately after having gone back through the first passage. So beginning with the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 14 in the book of the Revelation of John the Apostle. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, For the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. So returning to the beginning of this passage, which again is referenced as being chapter 14 in the book of the Revelation of John, the revelation of God the Father to God the Son, Jesus Christ, to his holy angel, to give to John, the apostle, the beloved disciple, to give to the church, so that it would be read and understood insofar as we can understand it, for lo, these two millennia, leading up to the doors of the coming of the fulfillment of these things. But I will begin just before this passage, at the end of the passage listed as being chapter 12, or rather chapter 13, pardon me. And I'm just wondering how far before that. Well, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Much has been said, has been taught concerning this now for ages. But until the times in which we live, on which we are on the cusp, on the verge of these things being fulfilled, until this time of unimaginably great supercomputing, computer language, artificial intelligence, until this time, these things have not been fulfilled. But there is more to come before these, of course. Again, the rise of the Ten Kings, the rise of the beast. But this is a great equalizer, what is going to take place. All people on the face of the earth, both small and great, and all in between, rich and poor, and all in between, free and bond, shall be forced to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And if they refuse, they shall be murdered. No person, no man, no person will be able to buy or sell, save he that has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name, which number is 666. But it's a great equalizer, isn't it? The highest and mightiest, the most super rich of the rich, mega billionaires, those that are the greatest landowners, landholders around the world. And it is perhaps surprising to some, it would be to find out that those that are the largest private landowners are extreme leftists. Surprise! Extreme leftists. People known for the entertainment industry in various different forms, facets, other businesses, business concerns, politics, owning vast, vast amounts of property, rich property on the face of this earth. The richest of the rich. Billionaires, multi-billionaires, mega-billionaires shall be relegated to having to submit to the very same thing as the dirt poor, the poorest of the poor. Isn't that interesting? It is the ultimate acid test, as it were. You either submit, you worship the image of the beast and thereby the beast, and thereby the false prophet, the other beast. But ultimately, the numero uno over all of those, Satan. You either do that by receiving this, by submitting to this and receiving this mark or the name or the number of the beast in your right hand or your forehead, or you shall be murdered. It's extraordinary. It really levels the playing field. It's the lowest common denominator. And it's coming. But there shall be very little resistance to it. Very little. Who shall resist that or refuse that? Really? You submit to this or you die now. Who's going to resist that? Other than genuine, devout followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person on the face of the earth is going to be given that opportunity to refuse the beast, the image of the beast, and die. Oh, brother, we don't have to worry about that because we're going to be raptured away. Well, okay. All right. Let me know how that works out for you. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. The lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 servants of his, with his father's name written in their foreheads. The lamb's father. Interesting wording, isn't it? And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. And as the voice of a great thunder. Where have we heard that before? Well, earlier in the book of Revelation, at the beginning of it, we had a couple references concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 1. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. In tribulation, people. Oh, brother, we're going to be raptured away from that. Okay. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. Of course, that only applies to those who are suffering tribulation. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why he was there, to testify to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And it just so happens that that great voice, when the words that we read here, it pertains directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then moving on, a few verses further. Several verses further. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And again, all of this has been description of Jesus Christ. All of it. His voice as the voice as the sound of many waters. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. It says in this passage, chapter 14. But additionally, in the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 19. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. And as the voice of many waters. And as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And back to the passage listed as chapter 14. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Interesting, you have this enormous sound of many waters, and thunder, great thunder, great thunderings. And then harpers harping, accompanied by singing, by singers. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. But the accompaniment is by those who are playing the harps. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne of God. And before the four beasts, the four living creatures spoken of by the great prophet priest Ezekiel, whom he also described as being the cherubims. He recognized later that they were the cherubims. They sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, the 24 elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So far, so good. Now we run into very, very serious trouble. The 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. That is a serious problem, people. This 144,000 men were redeemed from the earth. They were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. But according to God's word, which cannot be broken, they would not be defiled by virgin women. According to Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Whoremongerdom and adultery, that would have defiled them. But not marriage. Marriage with virgin women would not have defiled them. And unfortunately, this verse, these are they which were not defiled with women, it runs diametrically contrary to God's word. Well, brother, that's just one verse of Scripture, Hebrews 13:4. Well, so is this. But there are many other scriptures which give the same sense without being necessarily as clearly stated as that. But for instance, just a for instance, if we go back to the very beginning of God's word, right? Back to Genesis, back to the earliest part of Genesis. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. This is in Genesis 1. And a few verses later, it says this, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Moving on into the next passage, listed as chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. It is not good that the man should be alone. Therefore, it is not good that the 144,000 should be alone. Whereas it would be good, very good, if they were joined with the women they were intended to receive, who were created for them. However, based on the scripture in Revelation 14, I take it to be the case, whether this is true or not, I take it to be the case that for these 144,000, women were not created for them. But, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Brought her unto the man. What, to defile the man? To defile this virgin man? How terrible. No. But that is the conclusion one gets from that verse in Revelation 14. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed, and had no cause to be ashamed at this point in time. But you know, little wordings of scripture can serve negatively too. They can serve as stumbling blocks. Let me give you a case in point, which you probably will totally disagree with me about. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is undoubtedly not, what I'm going to describe next is undoubtedly not your experience. It's not the usual. But it's not rarer than rare either. And that is a man who lives with his mother. Oh, mama's boy, you know. She's a widow, or she's divorced, or she's a single mother. And he helps her. He may be a caregiver at that end of this spectrum, or far from that end of the spectrum. But he loves his mother, and reading this scripture causes him to think he has to leave his mother if he's going to marry. If he doesn't leave his mother, he can't marry. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I can just hear some big, hearty Baptist pastor preaching that. You know, make it a commandment from the Lord. But like the Apostle John, whom Jesus entrusted with the care of his mother Mary, while he was on the cross on Calvary just before he gave up the ghost. But back to Revelation 14. God Almighty took Enoch into heaven. Not the Enoch descended from Cain, but the Enoch descended from Seth, whom God gave to Adam and Eve in place of Abel, who was murdered by Cain. God took Enoch into heaven. He was not. He walked with God. God took him. He was a married man. Surely he must have been defiled with women, right? Surely he must have been defiled by his wife. You know, before marriage, he was a virgin. Then he marries a virgin woman. All of a sudden, he's defiled, right? No. But God thought so highly of him, he took him into heaven. The only people referred to in the entirety of the Bible that I'm aware of being taken into heaven by God are Enoch and the great, mighty prophet Elijah, who was an unmarried man, but a man of passions like we, of like passions, which is an interesting description, if you think about it. And Jesus, that's it. That's a small list. That is a very select list. And the first one, Enoch, a married man with children. But back to these 144,000. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. I'm not questioning whether they are virgins. I'm not questioning whether they were redeemed from among men. I'm not questioning whether they were the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. I'm not questioning whether they are without fault before the throne of God. Without guile and without fault. But to attribute all of that to them being virgins is very strange. Stranger yet is to state this in such a way that it does not just imply or infer that they may have been defiled with women if they had taken women. But to state it essentially outright, absolutely, that they would have, that they are not defiled with women because they are virgins. even though married men who marry when they are virgins to women that are virgins, there is nothing in God's word. In Roman Catholicism, yes, but there is nothing in the word of God to state that that results in defilement. Nothing. Now, would Satan say so? Absolutely. But, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. Another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, to all people. Well, come on. I mean, I guess we can allow that, because after all, there are no Christians there on the earth at this time during the tribulation. And so God would have to do this, because that's what our pastors have taught us. That's what our church leaders have taught us. That's what the doctors of the law have taught us, that there are no Christians on the earth. Therefore, the only way that the gospel is going to be preached is this way, by an angel. Okay. However, it then says concerning this angel, who has the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Wait, brother, we don't believe in that. That's old, old. Oh, that's, you know, hundreds of years ago or more. And that's Roman Catholicism. And that's this, that, and the other thing. We reject fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. There is therefore, you know, right? No fear. Fearless. Having no fear of God, being fearless of God is not a virtue. You cannot find scriptural support in the Word of God for failing to fear God. You can find a lot of support for the necessity of fearing God. Who are the ones who do not fear God? I mean, right up until the very, 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 very end. Who are they? The worshipers of Satan. The demons, the minions, the dupes, the corrupt, the profane, the perverse, the vile, the lewd, the wicked, the proudly wicked. Fear God. Interesting. This is the everlasting gospel. Well, brother, that's old. We reject that. Excuse me. This is the everlasting gospel. It does not go out of style. This is from the God who does not change. The God who was and is and shall be forevermore. The everlasting gospel. not today's flavor of the gospel. Not the 21st century so-called prostitution of the gospel. Not the latter 20th century so-called prostitutions of the gospel. This is the everlasting gospel. Rejected at your peril. It's not my gospel. I didn't create it. I didn't write it. I didn't think it up. It is God's gospel. Fear God. The first words, fear God. The same as what we received from John the Baptist. The same as what we received from Jesus the Christ when he began his ministry. If you imagine you know better than that, if you imagine that this does not pertain, then you have a very vivid imagination indeed. Fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There has been corruption and depravity throughout human history. Going back to before God overthrew the inhabitants of the earth with the flood, sparing, saving only Noah and his family. But there has never been as pervasively, exceedingly perverse, wicked, monstrous, heinous a time as there is today, with the evils being promoted, state-sponsored, state-promoted, state-sponsored, and state-committed by the free nations of the earth that used to constitute Christendom, targeting children for destruction. From the youngest ages, there has never been an age as evil as this. As evil as the times were in the Soviet Union, the Russian Communist Soviet Union that gobbled up all of its neighbors and what have you. That slaughtered hundreds of millions. The communist Chinese under Mao and his wonderful wife, which slaughtered even more hundreds of millions. The fascist evil Third Reich of Adolf Hitler. And all of the other evil ones put together. They may have succeeded thus far in murdering more. Not more preborn babes, but more adults, elderly, elders, young people, young couples, children, youths. but they were not more evil in terms of what they are about. The current federal regime of the United States of America and the rest of the Western nations is demonstrating more extreme, perversely evil, monstrous, heinous, sadistic, satanic destruction of children than there has ever been on the face of the earth. And I'm not including induced abortion and infanticide. That's how advanced we are. That's how sophisticated we are. And then we have, again, these various groups that insist that, well, 80 to 90% of Americans are Christians. Oh, really? I'd hate to think what it would be like if it was 8 or 9%. But I digress. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation." Oh, brother, we don't believe in that. We believe God loves everyone. "And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." You know, meeker than meek, Jesus, the Lamb. "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." That makes it a little bit more difficult decision to receive that mark or that name or that number, doesn't it? But only if you believe the word of God. Only if you believe the word of God. Oh, well, brother, this is just poetic license, metaphors, allegories, and what have you. This, you know, this isn't going to happen like that. This is just, you know, we don't know really what it is, but it certainly should never be taken literally. Never. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Well, brother, no, we have faith in Jesus. And our faith in Jesus informs our understanding so that we reject fear of God. We reject condemnation for anyone. We reject eternal punishment of anyone. Our faith in Jesus does that. Yes. Well, then you've got seriously compromised faith in Jesus. Fatally, eternally, damnably so. "Here is the patience of the saints," Well, the saints, those are just, you know, those back in the Old Testament who didn't believe in Jesus. They believed in God, and they aren't Christians, and so on and so forth, because our pastors are brilliant theologians and Christian leaders and so forth. They teach us that. They teach you wrong. Every saint is one of those who is referred to as the elect. Roman Catholicism can engage in all manner of abomination. They can canonize this one and that one and the other one and, you know, all this other foolishness, and then have you worship them, pray to them, and commit other abomination and blasphemy and heresy. But every true saint is known by this, that their name is written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and they inherit eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they are not a saint. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Absent either of those, you do not have a saint. They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Any and every person on the face of the earth that professes, however meekly, mildly, obscurely, privately, that they are a Christian, if they fail to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, they are not a Christian. They are not a member of the elect. It's an absolute pass-fail test. No matter how many brilliant teachers, pastors, evangelists, bishops, theologians, and what have you, teach you otherwise. Does this mean that the saints are sinless, spotless perfection? Well, that would be the ideal. But I would say no. I look to such as the Apostle Simon Peter as an example of that. And the oft-professed Apostle Saul Paul as an example of that. So, but that being said, they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Those who receive the mark, the name, the number of the beast may escape being murdered by the beast and the image of the beast and what have you. But they shall be damned, and they shall never rest. Oh, brother, we don't believe in works. Their works do follow them. We don't believe in works. Grace All is of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's comforting, no doubt. But the problem is just this, is that God's word from the beginning of the Bible, the Holy Bible, in my case, the King James Version Bible, Authorized Version Bible, you may prefer a less outstanding Bible, a less anointed Bible, a less accurate Bible, one even that is translated, revised by outright enemies of Christ. But from the beginning of the Word of God to the end of the Word of God, it speaks of work. Being done by God's people. Do the works save them? No. The shed blood of Jesus, their testimony, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their obedience to God, saves them. But do what you will to try to divorce that from works and see how that works for you. Their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, "Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." I don't know how much riper it needs to get, but it is very ripe, as the extremely, obscenely violent, evil doings, works of the Western regimes shows, demonstrates. In addition to all of the evils of the Eastern regimes, the murderous, torturous, monstrous regime reigning over Russia, and the regimes over North Korea and mainland China, and the Islamist regimes. So the fascist regimes over Russia, the communist regimes, the Islamist totalitarian regimes, they have been witnessing to the evils of the times for a long time, going back to preceding regimes. But the ones that really tell the story now of just how far gone things are the evil Western socialist regime. The time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And that time is drawing near. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. We don't believe in the wrath of God. We reject the wrath of God. Okay, well, then you reject the Word of God. And the bad news is that if you reject the word of God, the truth of God, then you bring upon yourselves the eternal judgment of God, the wrath of God, which you are rejecting. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs, which is approximately 200 miles of blood, a river of blood. Continuing with the next two passages of Scripture. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Returning to the beginning of the passage referenced as being chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Oh, brother, so much talk about the wrath of God. I mean, really, really. Yes, really. The wrath of God. Why is it that the God of the Bible, in the culmination of the Bible, of the Holy Word of God, should be so absolutely, exceedingly consumed with wrath because of the evil that have been perpetrated on the face of the earth? But strangely enough, and we will get to that in subsequent passages, strangely enough, God gives Satan another chance. Satan is behind the beast, the false prophet, the image of the beast, the 10 kings or 7 kings, however many are left, and all of their forces, all of their powers. Strangely enough, God gives Satan another chance. But in the seven last plagues that have been given to the seven angels to pour upon the earth and God's creation, in them is filled up the wrath of God. However, so you would think, well, then after those seven plagues, then the wrath of God is completely, totally, utterly dissipated, right? Because in them is filled up the wrath of God. However, following Armageddon, following the millennial reign of Christ, which follows Armageddon, following Satan being released from the bottomless pit and going up on the face of the earth to round up vast, vast, countless multitudes to go to war against Jesus, God demonstrates his wrath again. But, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And we've been told about this before earlier in Revelation, before the throne of God. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name and over his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Moses, the servant of God, who failed God more than once, but whom so highly regarded by God that here, near the end of the Bible, we are told again of Moses, the servant of God, as in the faithful servant of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Saints again. They are the elect. They keep the commandments of God, and they have the faith of Jesus. Those go together. I wonder if that has anything to do with the United States of America's federal and state regimes seeing to it that the commandments, even the Ten Commandments of the Lord, are prevented from being shown to the little children in public schools. I wonder if there's any connection. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Not the ways of corporate CEOs and COOs, not the ways of presidents, vice presidents, senators, congressmen, governors, judges, or ministers or pastors or church leaders, unfortunately. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? No, we reject that. We don't believe in fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? You are not in good company if you reject the fear of the Lord. You are not on safe ground if you reject the fear of the Lord. You are following hireling ministers, hireling pastors, wolves in sheep's clothing, Pied Pipers, perverse influencers, if you reject the fear of the Lord. And you cannot do that with impunity. We cannot do that with impunity. There is an eternal price to pay for that. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. And yet, our wicked government regimes require the citizenry to obey them, to submit to them, to follow them, to capitulate to their evil plans and purposes, their perverse, monstrous destruction of children of innocence, among others. Diametrically contrary to God. Totally from Satan. We are so near the end, whether we recognize it or not. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations, or as Tyndale says, all Gentiles, shall come and worship before thee. But shall they? This is very strange because it gets contradicted as we move on and preceding this. But for thy judgments are made manifest, the judgments of the Lord God Almighty against the evil shall be made manifest very soon. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts, one of the four cherubims, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, there is a curiosity here, and that is that we are told that the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues. And after that, one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And I said after that. However, these accounts are not strictly chronological. So keep that in mind when something just seems out of sync. Not strictly chronological. And I heard a great voice out of the temple of God, saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. No, not the wrath of God again. Yes, the wrath of God. Oh, I just wish, you know, there was no wrath of God. I just wish that the wicked, corrupt, perverse, evil leaders and their evil regimes could just continue doing all of this monstrous evil, more evil continually and perpetually, ever escalating. Wouldn't that be much better than the wrath of God? Would it? And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Not one third, but rather now, all of the sea became as the blood of a dead man. Not one third of the creatures in the sea, but every living soul in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Not upon one third of the rivers and fountains of waters, but upon all of the rivers and fountains of waters. And they all became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And you notice again, they have shed the blood of saints. And who are the saints? They are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard another one. I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. So seemingly, they are not coming and worshiping before him. True? but they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. So they did not come and worship before the Lord God Almighty, the King of Saints, did they? And the kingdom of the beast, the seed of the beast, was full of darkness. It speaks of power outage, doesn't it? Massive power outage. So much for air conditioning under these particular overheated circumstances. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. Now, God uses names interchangeably here and there. And we ought not to assume this or that with regard to place names like this, because we may err. But the great river Euphrates, the water thereof was dried up. So until the vial the sixth angel poured out was poured out, the river was seemingly full of water. But guess what? All of the rivers and fountains of waters were blood. And now it is dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Satan, the great dragon, the great red dragon, the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, is in charge of these evil ones. These three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, the other beast. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. This is very curious, because the kings, the ten kings, have submitted their kingdoms, their newfound, newly received kingdoms, unto the beast prior to this. But the spirits of devils they come out of the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And they go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. And the earth and the whole world are under the enslavement of the beast and the image of the beast prior to this. So I'm just a little confused, a little surprised about the wording. Because all of the kings of the earth, of the whole world. They are subordinate to the beast, to the image of the beast, to the false prophet. They are subordinate. All of the kings of the earth have had to take the mark of the beast, the number of his name, the name of the beast, in their right hand or their forehead. They are all subordinate. They are all submitted to. They are all in allegiance with and enslaved by, ruled over by. But the spirits of devils go unto all of them and gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief, as Jesus said in the Gospels. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. He gathered them. This is curious. We are told that the spirits, unclean spirits, spirits of devils, have come forth from the mouths of the dragon Satan, the devil, and the beast, and the other beast, the false prophet, and have gone forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And then it says, and he gathered them. Who is he? Is this the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the spirits of the devils is plural? Or is this God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has just been referred to, behold, I come as a thief. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is like Calvary all over again. Satan was convinced that he was getting his way, that he had succeeded. With bringing about the murder of Jesus Christ. But ultimately, the plan was God's, that of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So too here, Satan believes, is convinced, is persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is gathering all of the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to go to war, to go to Armageddon, to attack, to invade Israel, and overthrow tiny Israel, the only nation on the face of the earth opposing Satan and his beast and his false prophet and his image of the beast. None of the superpowers, none of the nuclear armed superpowers, but tiny Israel. Does Israel have some nuclear weapons? Yes. But it is tiny Israel. How many people? Depends what number you look at. The most recent I saw was 8 million something. Tiny Israel. The only holdout. The only nation standing, independent from, in opposition to, resisting, refusing the power and the might of Satan and his beast and his false prophet and the kings of the earth. And Satan is convinced that he is succeeding, that he is on the cusp of destroying Israel and preventing God's purposes from being achieved, from being accomplished. And he gathered them. Who is he? He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne of God saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. All of the cities of the nations of the earth fell, collapsed. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. He who gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Yes, we were told previously about them being moved out of their place. But now they are eliminated. The mountains were not found. They ceased to be. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. They had disappeared. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now again, the prophecies in the book of Revelation are not nicely, neatly chronological. As we shall see as we continue on. But the word of God is true. We can reject it. It is not only rejected by the church of Satan, so-called, by all of those great religions of the world, apart from Jewry, which certainly does not abide by the word of God, but the word of God is rejected by Islam, by Buddhism, by Confucianism, by Taoism, by Jainism, by the cults. By those powerful evil isms, communism, fascism, which are both branches of socialism. But most terribly of all, is the rejection of the Word of God, the truth of God. And God Almighty's Christ within Jewry, within Roman Catholicism, within so much of Protestant Christianity. That is what's worst of all. The damage, the harm, the corruption, the perversion that is done to God's word within Jewry and Christianity and Catholicism. And Orthodox Church and so forth. Through the high church, the low church. Through evangelical churches, non-denominational churches, interdenominational churches, to beat the band. Apostate, profane, corrupt, dead denominations, yes. But what's worst is the harm that is done within the best of churches, the strongest of churches, of denominations, which go on persisting in preaching and teaching the pre-tribulation rapture, once saved, always saved, and so forth. And the grace churches, oh my. To me, that's what's worst of all. But it's all terrible. The Word of God is true, is faithful, is righteous, is holy. It is not our place to supplant it with the wisdom of man, with the philosophies, the vain philosophies of mankind, with the corruptions and the perversions of mankind. But this is what has happened for so long. It takes place at Bible schools, Christian colleges, Christian universities, divinity schools, theological seminaries, and within churches. Routinely, continuously, perpetually, to a shocking degree. Teaching and spending more time on psychology, sociology, anthropology, Darwinian evolution, and the list goes on, than on the Word of God. This is commonplace in Christian colleges and universities. This is commonplace in divinity schools and theological seminaries. And to a lesser extent, a much lesser extent, hopefully, in Bible schools. But just terrible. We are very, very, very near the end. And we need to get this right, or we shall suffer for it. Heavenly Father, lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth. open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Impart thy gift of faith to us, which can move mountains. Endue us with thy spirit from on high in power. Baptize us with thy Holy Ghost and fire. Have thy way in us and through us by thy spirit for thy glory. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might even so. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming, to serve thee together forever. Lord God in heaven, be magnified from the border of Israel, throughout Israel, round and about Israel, throughout this earth. God, save Ukraine now. By the captain of thy host, by thy holy mighty angels, by thy spirits, for thy glory, for thy pleasure, for thine honor, for the honor of thy name, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of thy kingdom, in Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.